tolerated the dog. The heart came later. Every Wednesday, he sat at the back of the restaurant and opened his laptop to work on one of two projects. One, the Boar Project, or two, the Caspar David Friedrich Project. The Boar Project was an exhaustive compilation of French place names derived from the aforementioned pre-Indo-European route. Its purpose was to settle once and for all the toponymic debate surrounding the precise meaning of the syllable boar itself, a rare derivation of the root bar. Many etymologists espouse the theory that the inclusion of boar in a place name suggested a protruding geographical formation. There was a certain degree of discord even within this group, and a broad spectrum of interpretation of the word protruding, which included everything from escarpments to huts, copses to knolls, via good old-fashioned hills. A smaller number of fantasists on the fringe of the field pretended that boar meant apiary, citadel, etc., opinions that were refuted in unison by the other camps. It seemed that boar was all things to all people, the kind of generous imprecision that kept Frank awake at night. And so Frank took it upon himself to resolve the issue once and for all through exhaustive map-based research of the hexagon. To do this, he combed through the country inch by inch, circling boar hamlets, villages, hills, and plateau on blue French Ordnance Survey maps. He travelled an average 5 miles per hour, walking his index finger and tiring his eyes over the blue-green 1 to 25,000 ratio atlas. Sometimes his eyelid would start to twitch, and Joan was called to squirt artificial tears into Frank's feverish eyes. He organised the place names he stumbled upon in a sophisticated maze of Excel spreadsheets and highlighted some of his breakthroughs in online cartography forums under the alias Borax. The Caspar David Friedrich Project was a dissertation on the topography of Romanticism that was now 20 years in the making. 40, if you counted the research. 60, if you took into account the conditioning of Frank's childhood. About a year ago, Frank had started publishing installments of his thesis on a blog, which was followed by a handful of scholars and almost as many webcam models in the US and Eastern Europe. Frank saw these projects as his service to humanity, his humble contribution to the keeping of mankind's history. After all, what was geography if not history in relief? Mountains pushed up out of the earth's crust and then eroded. Their names, too, erupted from language over time, picking up letters and syllables which might later be shed. As for his interest in German Romanticism, it too was born of a seismic vibration. As a boy growing up in a village of brutalist high-rises just north of Paris, Frank benefited from municipally sponsored summer camps, courtesy of the town's communist administration, and discovered a love of nature until then untapped. For years, he visited the seaside and the Alps, along with the other boys and girls whose parents worked on the line in the tire factory. Frank loved the ocean, but he grew infatuated with the mountains, with their perpetual snow, icy blue steeps, and great solitude. Back home, Frank shared an apartment with his mother, stepfather, brother and sister, and 4 step-siblings. At summer camp, he had his own bunk, carved with the names and obsessions of those who had enjoyed the same high-altitude privacy before him. From this top bunk, he had an exclusive, endless view over the least populous landscape he'd ever encountered. Even when hiking or climbing with his peers and the camp counselors, Frank felt this communion with each trail or rock wall was his own private affair. Years later, as an architecture student at the Beaux-Arts in Paris, he discovered Friedrich and recognized in the man's paintings a personal, memory-like quality, almost like the recollection of oneself through and by another. The Wanderer Above the Sea of Fog was a 10-year-old Frank on his first ascent of the Dent de l'Enfant, the alpine valley below tucked in beneath a blanket of clouds. The young couple on the sailing ship were Frank and his shipmate Joris, 2 12-year-old working-class boys on a subsidized boat watching the black sardine sloop skim by in the Baie de Dourananès. When he graduated from architecture school, Frank kissed his mother goodbye, packed all his belongings into a red mountaineer's rucksack, and bought a one-way ticket to the alpine town where, 40 years later, he now had a weekly date with an animal's plated ticker.